I've often wondered to do this sermon on faith. And you look at Scripture and we sing about faith and we talk about faith and we pray to get our faith increased and stuff like that. And I have mentioned before that we don't need a lot of faith, we just need to doubt less. That's always one that I always try to remember. So I looked at Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, so I looked at several different versions. It's always good whenever you study the Bible, have several different versions, that way you get more of a deeper understanding of it, because those versions say that sentence in a slightly different way. Let me give you an example. And about faith, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the New King James Version. The NIV says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And the Message Bible says, "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see." And the Living Translation says, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something what we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead." I just want to break that down a little bit. And there's some key words that I want us to sort of focus on. And the the New King James Version, I think I like that one the most. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it talks about evidence. The NIV talks about is faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance. So you can see that that one has, I believe in my thinking, something that I can grab hold of. When you talk about substance and evidence, it's almost like a court case, if you like. Now, faith. What is faith? Now, you tend to think, okay, what is faith a verb or is faith a noun? Or is faith, what is faith? Now, I believe that faith is a verb. It's an action. Because in James 2, verses 14 to 17 says, faith without action is what? Is dead. Exactly. In other words, you can't have faith without action. It's meaningless. It has no power. Faith. So what sort of action is faith? Now, I've written down a little bit of a blurb here, so I just want you to bear with me. I think faith is a verb as it causes us into action. Remembering James, faith without action. Therefore, I believe that faith in God is a binding agreement between you and God, that as we move into action, that is faith, simultaneously he moves into action as well. We do not move into blind faith, rather it is through the evidence of his past actions that we have belief in his ability to act when we act. He calls and we agree with his call. Therefore we take action, which in turn allows God to act with us, and in doing so, increases our confidence in him, in knowing that when we act upon his calling, he will be faithful first, therefore increasing our faith and confidence in him. And faith can be thought of as a divine dance with God. Let me just unpack that a little bit, because there's a lot in that. I want to do a little demo, if you like, because I wanted to look at the confidence and the evidence of that sort of faith, if I can. So I'd like two volunteers, if I can. So what I need is I need this guy over here. What's your name? Benjamin. G'day, Benjamin. There you go, buddy. Come on out here. All right, Arthur. I'll take you. You're a volunteer. Come on out here, buddy. Now, I want Arthur, if you can stand here and just face that way, if you could, please. And Ben, if you could stand there. No, turn around. Now, you're the drop test, okay? You're the drop test dummy. Okay, now, Ben, I want you to, you're going to stand here, and you're going to catch him, okay? Now, don't move. Just don't move. Don't move. Now, do you have confidence that Ben could do that?
I have to.
No. You do have confidence? Look at him. Look at him. He's
rather him than me catching him.
All right, well you turn round. You turn round. And you turn round. Now, if you fell backwards, how do you feel, Ben, about Arthur catching you?
Not real sure.
What do you feel is the problem?
I'm a little too big for it.
You're a little bit too big. Okay. All right. That's fantastic. So it's evidence, isn't it? It's evidence based. You guys can go sit down. A lot of what we have faith in has got to have evidence based. Otherwise, it's called blind faith. All right? So we have evidence in God's ability to do something for us. And we get that evidence through Scripture, through what He's done in the past, and what He's done through others, and what He's done through us in our past. So there's a lot of evidence there that when God says, listen, I want you to do this, He's going to be doing it with you. That's our faith, that we're not doing it alone, that God is going to be working with us when He calls us. So it's not a one-man boat. When we look at what Jesus did in Scripture, in Luke 7, verses 50, He says an interesting thing. He uses, if I can just get it out here. Luke 50, he says, I'll get it right in a minute. I got it. There's a lot of silence in the room. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I want you to have a think about that. Because in Luke 18, verses 42, he talks to a blind man. And he says, your faith has healed you. And then in Mark 5, verses 34, he says to a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And in Mark 9, verse 29, he talks to two blind men and he says, according to your faith, you are healed. So what does it mean when he says, when he adds these two things together, that is your faith and that you are being saved through your faith? That means that they have either heard or they have witnessed the miracles of Jesus which became the evidence that Jesus could heal. So therefore, they approached Jesus confidently, knowing that they could be healed as the result of them coming forward to Jesus. I can hear some of you saying, well, how do you increase your faith? I mean, what is it about being saved? How does that fit together? See, God talks to us mostly in the Bible. We know that. That's why it's highly recommended that you get into the Word. Trying to listen to God without reading the Scriptures is trying to phone somebody without a phone. It's pretty hard to do. You could probably ask somebody, oh, can you phone somebody for me? But unless you've got that phone in your hand, you can't phone them yourself. That's crazy, isn't it? To think like that. So if you want to talk to God, if you want to hear God's word, if you want to hear Him speak to you, get into His word. that is the best way for God to talk to you. Because quite often I hear people say, I don't know what God wants me to do. You know, I'd have plenty of faith, but I don't know what God wants me to do. This is where you're going to find out what God wants in your life, by reading His Word. It's like the 12-step program. The 12-step program tells you 12 steps of how to get sobriety. Correct? Is that right, guys? They're there for a reason. And you study them. You learn them. You absorb them. And by doing that, you get sobriety. If you put them into practice. Correct? Exactly. Same as scriptures. If we read the words and don't apply the words, it won't do us any good. You've got to read the word and you apply the word, and God speaks through the word. That's how it works. When we talk about addiction, I just wanted to talk a little bit about when we think about addiction. Looking back at the words that Scripture said about faith, that the substance, and I thought, gee, you know, I don't want to be drawing a long bow here, but you can see it, can you? Sin is at the heart of addiction. And we all are addicts. Every single one of us are addicts. What we are addicted to is sin. Paul talked about it in his words to us when he said, I want to do this, but I end up doing that. And he talked about an inner turmoil. A war was raging within his own self. He wants to do this thing, which is the right thing, but he ends up doing this, which is the wrong thing. And he is torn in two. And we're all in the same boat. And he says, what a wretched person am I? Who will save me from this body of decay? In other words, that if he keeps on going down the sin road, he's going to be in serious trouble. His answer and our answer is Jesus Christ. That is the only answer. But for us suffering from addiction, that is sin, and sin is addiction, is there any way out? Well, Jesus provides a way out. Jesus provides a way out through the cross. It is only through the cross that we have forgiveness from our sin. But we can only accept that through faith. In other words, we have to be a participator in that. We can't just sort of go, praise God, and then just keep walking off and just doing our own thing. It doesn't work like that. You've got to actually be part of the solution. God did a lot of the work. He did all the work. But we've got to take hold of that. And that's called faith. We've got to take hold of that. We've got to be participators in that salvation. We've got to step into that, into our faith, and go, God's called us through His death and resurrection. We accept that by faith, and we are saved by our faith, knowing that what Jesus has done, He's done it for us, all, every single one of us. You see that through sin, we have fallen short of what God says, this is the answer to get into heaven. Perfection. Absolute perfection is the only way to get into heaven. Therefore, when the scripture says all mankind has fallen short of the glory of God. That means the standard to get into heaven. That means one sin will exclude you and exclude me from getting into heaven. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. The only way that we're going to have real forgiveness, real release from sin, from the power of sin over our life, is through faith in Jesus Christ. In order to have that, you need to, as we come forward to the mercy seat, that's fantastic, but are we taking that faith with us when we walk away from the mercy seat? Are we taking that faith with us when we are walking on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning? We're having a really bad time by now, and we're back onto Sunday again, and we're back in the mercy seat. It's a bit of a cycle going on. Faith is the key, because faith without action is dead. It's powerless. You must put into your life, into our life, we must put in faith. Action. It's called a divine dance with God, that He calls us, He leads us, and we respond. I'm going to ask the band if they can come up and finish off here. So I ask you, as the band plays, think about what is holding you back. What is it that you want to bring forward to the mercy seat and leave there? Leave it there by faith and say, God, we're doing this together. I can't do this by myself. The first step in the 12-step program is what, guys? That's it. That you understand that your lives are unmanageable. In other words, we haven't been able to manage our lives. All of us are the same way, because sin is addiction, and addiction is sin. Okay, we all sin, every single one of us. So that first step, that first number one step, is for every single one of us, that we all know that we cannot manage our own life. We need a Savior. We need God in our life through faith, that He's the one that's going to get us through. He's the one that we're going to lean on. He's the one that we're going to say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need a Savior. I need You in my life. This is a divine dance between you and God. He's calling you, but He doesn't want you to do it alone. He's going to do it with you. He's going to walk with you. He wants you to read His word so He can talk to you deep into your heart and change the pattern. Change the pattern. Because God wants a new person today, and He wants a new person tomorrow. And He wants a new person the next day. And the only way that we're going to change our society, our community, is if we change ourselves. And it's only done through faith. So as the song sings, as the singers bring the song to us, as we hear God speak to us, I challenge you to be obedient to what you hear God saying in your heart. You want to come to the mercy seat? That's open. That's fantastic. You're quite welcome. Leave whatever you bring at the mercy seat. Don't take it back to the seat with you. and know that God walks with you. Okay. God loves you. He loves me. He loves all of us.